Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm your host, Lisa Valentine Clark, and here today we have Amy Cree and Michelle. We're so excited. The Council of Moms, how do we do it all? This is how. It's this. Right here, right now.
I just, what? How?
You're like, I don't know what's happening.
Tell me
how do we do it? Yeah.
This is how we do it. Together,
this
as a community.
How we do
together.
It.
As a community. Yes.
Together, it is. Okay, Council of Moms, the best thing for motherhood since caffeine. Yeah.
I love that.
All right? It's kind of true.
It's true.
It's a hack. And as always, the Council of Moms, made with real moms. I'm your host, Lisa Valentine Clark. I'm the mom of five. I have four baby adults, two who have fully launched, two who are 1 foot in, 1 foot out, like going to school. Hey, still, can you float me some this, but I'm on my own and don't tell me what to do. Yeah. And one who is in my house and is like, don't worry about it, mom. I'm raised. And I'm like, well, I don't think you're fully baked, but let's talk about that. That's the phase of life I'm in. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Also today, we have Amy. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Amy. I love being here. I love talking with you moms. I am a mom to three boys, two emerging adults, and an 11-year-old. So really in the thick of it in a lot of different ways and in an easier stage of life too. And then a harder stage and then back to an easier stage. So lots of going back and forth on that kind of stuff. I work as a life coach also. So I love that my kids give me a hard time that maybe I try to life coach them or that I shouldn't try to life coach them.
Oh, that's it. They've got opinions. Great.
They've got some opinions about it. Yeah.
And also with us.
I'm Cree Taylor. I am a mom of five. Also, the age range is newborn to 10 years old. And we have a lot of fun, a lot of chaos at our house. When I had my baby about a month ago, someone asked, or back in April, someone asked, how do you do it? And I said, I'm tired most of the time. Like I'm very consistently tired. I've accepted that as my base. And then we just move forward from there, you know? Yeah. And I'm a very much a times and seasons person. So I'm like, you know what? This 3 a.m. feed is a season and it's going to go away. Yeah. And then she'll sleep. And then we'll hit my two-year-old. He gets up every night because he has to go to the bathroom. So then we're back, you know? So that's how I navigate my motherhood. I love being a mom. I love being an educator. I also sometimes really don't like being a mom. And the other day I said, when I'm in the bathroom, I just say, I'm in the bathroom, go away. I can't help you, go away. So then my two-year-old, I said, hey, son, like, let's go put your clothes in the hamper. I'll go with you. And he goes, go away, mom. And I was like, oh, crap. So that's where I'm at. We're learning, we're growing, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, whatever. We'll thrive in the end. I'll thrive in the end.
Yeah, that stuff comes back around.
It does.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
It's like, where did you learn that?
Yeah, I said it. Oh yeah, you taught it. Oh my gosh, Cree, you're in that. And I love how you said you're in that season. It's definitely a season, and every season looks different for everybody. I'm Michelle Loveday. I'm a mom. I say to 5.5, six kids. I had an adopted daughter that joined us in her seventh grade year in life, and has added some beauty to our family. And I'm in every stage except for the baby toddler stage. My last one is now in junior high, middle school. And so my age range is 25 to 12. So I have two left at home, age 16 and 12. And so this season is a little bit different. And so sometimes I look at the season Cree's in and I'm like, that was so much easier because they just did what you told them. It was so much easier. But then sometimes I also look at the adult, emerging adult, as we say. And it's interesting because I can connect with them on a different way. I'm an educator, so it definitely helps me and hurts me in some ways after being in education for 23 years to kind of use child development, you know, knowledge with my own children and experiment on things that I use in the classroom. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chaos. I have to say that I am going through the hormonal changes with my kids because I'm going through perimenopause. So everyone's crying and no one knows why.
The Council of Moms. Everyone is crying and no one knows why. Yes. The why isn't as important as when will it stop?
And because I'm stubborn, the how is I will win.
Yeah.
I will win.
Yeah. Winning. The Council of Moms. We know we're winning. We're not quite sure with what, but we're winning. You're fine.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome. And today's question from a listener. So here we go. We're diving in. Dear Council of Moms, I need some ideas for consequences. For reasons you can probably guess, I won't be using the same types of discipline my parents used on me and my siblings. But there are some days when I'm just at a loss, and one of my kids loves a challenge. He will make a point of being unaffected by the consequences we have now. And I don't want to be too harsh, but it's just getting harder as they're getting older. Can you give me some new ideas for responding to negative behavior?
Oh, man.
That's a great question,
and they
right?
have resources, and the kids have resources, too, right? They have this whole social media universe that can tell them what's effective and what's not. Oh, that's a good one.
I know. I feel like that question gets a moment of silence.
Yes.
I know.
It's so self-aware.
Question.
Yes.
Well, and I like how they put in the truth so of, like, hard. We can't parent and discipline the way our parents did, i.e. going to get the switch. And we don't want to, right? You know?
I know.
Right. I think we don't want to. And I don't think everyone, I know I was not. I knew it was present. I didn't have corporal punishment. I was the last child of three, and I was the only girl. So I knew it existed, but because I was perfect, I didn't need it.
Which makes it so hard to parent, because you're like, I would never.
All jokes aside, though, it is really interesting how parents can choose to do this. And I learned a lot through a TV show, not promoting it, but it's interesting to watch. I think it was called The Parent Show. I don't remember what it was called, but they basically had a panel of 10 to 12 parents on it, and they put their families and their children in scenarios, and then they had, you know, different types of parenting styles. The soft parent, the loose parent, the rigid, the traditional, all these types of parenting styles and how they would handle the reaction. And then that council of parents had to vote on the best way to parent.
Interesting.
And in watching that show over the seasons, it was interesting to watch how some were very judgmental of, like, you know, the rigid disciplinary parent. Had their reasons for why they parented. They were a single parent. They knew what life was going to throw at them, and this is why. The parent that lived on the road and they traveled and did different things, they kind of like were the free range parent, and this is why. And it was interesting to watch, because at the end of the day, everyone remembered one key thing. We love our kids, and we want them to thrive in the world without us.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to consequences, you, your partner, whoever you're raising your family with, your children with, you have to understand and go back to, what are my values and what do I want my kids to learn? Yeah. And those harder kids where consequences are just, they don't, I want to believe that they're doing that in the face because that's the personality they are. I'm raising myself, and so they are very strong and independent and don't want them to know. But I would like to think that maybe when they shut that bedroom door, they're affected and they're hurt and they're upset. I have a kid that she'll stare at me and won't do anything. And then I hear her crying later because she disappointed me.
So
I can't yell at her as much. Whereas my other kid will tune me out completely. And then the minute I say, you're not going to have your phone, that gets a reaction. So that's the easier reaction.
Yeah, and responding to different kids and their reaction and not taking it all at face value. I had a kid who felt things very, very deeply, but just stone-faced, like nothing affects me, but I knew it did. And so you do have to sort of acknowledge that Amy, well, I see you nodding like a lot.
Nodding. I'm having some thoughts about that.
You're having an experience.
Yeah. I think it is so challenging. I've said this before on the Council of Moms, but it's something that helped me so much. And I still have to think about the difference between consequences. And, I'm always going to talk about consequences and relationship. So I think keeping things business and personal. So business is the consequence. That's the consequence of your behavior. And we communicate clearly about that, but it's not necessarily personal. And I think a mistake that I made a lot, especially when my older boys were younger, is that if you were in trouble, it's because you were in trouble with me, right? I was upset with you. That was kind of the consequence for a lot of things, is that I was upset with you. And so you had to deal with how I felt about it, and that I was mad was the situation. Instead of learning that, if I break a rule, I have to, I have to make that rule right, or I have to restore the time that it took for whatever that happened, whatever that created for someone else. So that's been really helpful for me, is that a behavior problem never can be more my problem than my kid's problem.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. If I'm more upset about it than they are, then I've got the balance wrong, and I need to find a way to restore that so that they are feeling that. And so that's something to think about. I think especially when you have a kid who's pushing, like maybe they don't care. I think that's a thing to consider. Do they not care because you're the consequence, your anger, your frustration or disappointment is the consequence? And if that's the case, then maybe, you work around that to find something that really, I don't know, is going to teach them a lesson. I don't like the sound of that. But what is ultimately going to help them, like you said, Michelle, be an adult on their own? What is, and we want them to have this experience in our homes with this tough behavior, so that they can learn what consequences look like here in under our care versus out in the world where, things will be a little tougher.
Yeah.
I had to rethink the purpose of punishment through all of my littles. The fun part about a little kid is that if you're like, go to your room, and they say no, you can just pick them up.
I know. And you're a little pocket. Really?
And you carry them. And maybe they're, and maybe they're like kicking and screaming and like, I don't want to. But I could just be like, whoop, we're going to go together, and I need you to calm down.
But when they're 14 and you're like, no, listen here.
Exactly.
And they're looking up at them, and they're like 6 foot, and you're like, you listen to your mom.
You go to your room. But I think I'm not ready for that. I told you, my kids are 10 to newborn, so I'll figure that out later. But I'm really living in this phase of life that I'm in right now. And I had to rethink what the punishment was for. I have a 5-year-old who, she's like this mom described. My oldest daughter, I'd say, you got to go sit on the chair. If you can't be around others, meaning like punching or stealing toys, you need to take a break from others until you're ready to be around them again. And I'd sit her on the chair, and she would just sob and sob. Aww. And then my 5-year-old, she would just like look at me and be like, I'll take my punishment. Let me know when my 5 minutes are up, and then I'll get off my chair. And at first I was like, if you're not crying, then the punishment is not working. How dare you not respond to my punishments? And then I was like, wait a minute. The point of the consequence isn't that she cries.
Right.
Isn't that she shows she's visibly upset.
Right.
The point of the consequence is that she learns something. So I've had to be very specific of like, do you know why you're sitting on this chair? Do you understand why you got sent to your room? With my 2-year-old the other day, he was just screaming at everybody. I don't think he napped well at the daycare. So I said, son, if you can't be around others, we're going to have to take a break. Screaming, got him in the room. Then there's the follow-up. Do you know why you're in the room? He's yelling and screaming. Like, you were yelling and screaming. Are you ready to be around others? Yes, I'm ready to be around others. So I think as we're thinking about consequences, it's what's the point? If we're punishing so that our kid feels bad, so that they cry, they get upset, and we're thriving off that, like, let's evaluate. Let's reevaluate. Yeah. But if we're going, no, this is a consequence that's realistic. In our family, we don't tell lies. So here's your consequence for telling lies. Now let's talk about it. I think that would help this mom reframe. Just because you don't get a reaction doesn't mean that they're not learning something and that this consequence isn't being learned and received.
Yeah. And that is so big, because Amy, you said that, and it was a lesson taught to me by my 16-year-old, of, is this consequence hurting me more? Am I more upset because of the behavior? And I remember, you know, with my 16-year-old this past year, something had happened and I was like coming down, you know, with the hammer. I was Thor. It was, you know, whatever. And kid was just staring at me and I said, why are you not bothered by this? And she was just like, it doesn't, like, it's not as important to me as it is you.
Yeah. Oh, and wow. Straight told me. And she used, like, those words.
Yeah. Used those words. And so I stopped for a second, and I was like, huh, yeah, you are right. However, in this house, mediocrity is not an option. And so that's what I feel like you're doing. And I think I'm more upset because you're okay with mediocrity. So can we talk about what that looks like to you? And so it kind of helped reframe the conversation. And you know, with a 16-year-old, you can't pick them up and do things like that. And so then I'm like, well, I'm going to have to walk away because I am upset. So can we talk about this later? But don't ask me for anything, like nothing right now. The answer is no until I can process my feelings.
You got oh my gosh, when you say that, that makes me, because I feel like my kids show me consequences when they're like, oh, I know that I've got her right where I want her and I can ask for whatever. No. And like, that's a consequence of how you parent too. Yeah. And I'm just, when you said that, I thought, oh, my kids know that about me. Oh, I've shown my cards.
Yeah.
That
and
is
they do. And they know you as much as you know them at a certain age, especially when they're 16. And so like my husband, he gets so mad and then he over consequences. Is that an adjective?
That's a thing. That works.
So he'll he'll over consequence. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, this is what happened. And like, we can't just always use, we'll take your phone away, you know, at some point for like a month. Like, that's not going to benefit anybody in this house.
It's going to hurt you more than them.
Yes. I'm like, I know you're upset, but can we talk to them later? Like, apologize and let's come back with the consequence of it looking like X, Y, and Z. And the more they gain independence, like, you know, and you want them to gain independence. My 16-year-old has worked, saved money, and bought their own car. So, like, now this consequence is going to look a lot different because they have independence that I can't just be like, well, you can't drive anywhere because, no, it's benefiting me. I took them to the grocery store the other day. So what is consequence going to look like? And that's, you know, maybe helping in the yard a little bit more and doing some more labor around the house. Mm-hmm. Like, you did this, and so I really needed you to step up in areas and fold the laundry. Housework is the consequence.
I love the idea of tying it to, you know, like you stayed out too late. I couldn't go to sleep till you were home, which is not true for me. I can actually go to sleep, but whatever. You were out 2 hours past
Amy's
curfew.
Kids, don't watch this episode.
You disrupted, I know.
Don't
you disrupted our sleep. So you can help with 2 hours of stuff in the morning. You know, you know, tomorrow you've got to help make up for that time that, you know, or it was time that I couldn't do things. I love the idea of natural consequences. We can't always do that.
The best.
You know, there's not, but they are the best. And they're, I think, I the most effective teachers. And then I love, too, what you said, Michelle.
About, consequence has to meet what they did.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Sorry, go ahead.
And I think, you know, when kids, and you guys have probably all heard this, but talking to our kids or, like, trying to teach them the lesson when they're upset and they're, you know, they're just, they're in a physical, really a physiological state where they can't really learn the lesson that we're trying to teach them. It's true for us too. Like, I thought of that, you know, when we're upset and we dish out those huge punishments, that's not our best time either to be handing out consequences, is it? That's
a helpful thing for me to think about. It too, if it's like realistic to, because again, to our goals, like as parents, right? Like, and it's, you know, because a lot of times when they go out and on their own, they'll do things and there won't be an immediate consequence. Right. So, you know, it kind of has to, it's that why behind what we're doing. Like, we live in a society, we live in a family. And if you take this away from me, there are consequences that I'm feeling, like of whether it's lack of sleep or stress or, you know, that kind of stuff. And you want them to be empathetic. You want them to want these things. But this idea of, nope, you did it wrong, punishment, take the phone away, or you're grounded, or whatever that means. Like, I just remember, like, you know, the most effective sort of parenting negotiations that I've had about consequences have been discussions. They haven't been, like, go to your room and weren't, you know, taking stuff away. It's been, this is why this is has value. This is the purpose for me, for you, and an investment. And this is what I'm trying to do and trying to get you to be able to regulate on your own in the future. And that's a harder conversation to have. And especially when you're tired or you're like, that's for me when it all goes out the door of like, cause I said so, because life's not fair. I don't know, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Because. Yes.
Yeah.
Because.
And it's hard.
So we're not always acting in our best interest. We're not always at 100%.
Yeah. And that's where you need to have it honest. Like there's been times where it's like, I am so tired and it's 10:30 and I know that this is going to take a lot longer in conversation. And so just know I'm mad at you. I'm disappointed in the choices you made. We'll I need you tomorrow. To go to bed and we'll talk tomorrow when I have all my faculties about me, because I don't want to say something that I'm going to regret. I don't want to say something that's out of anger. And it's hard because these, you know, the teenagers I feel like are harder as they get older to implement the consequence. And you have this pull as a parent of, I don't want them to like hate me and not come home. And, you know, you've seen it a lot more. I feel like there's a lot more like, please look, my 14-year-old got missing. Like there's a lot of missing children I've seen, even in my neighborhood, where they've gone missing for a couple hours because they're upset with the consequence that was bestowed upon them. And so it's scary as a parent because you don't want to be exposed like that. But when that happens, I think every one of us, every parent, understands what's happening at that moment. We understand it's not anything that was caused or not caused, and it's not bad parenting. We have a lot in our world that we're navigating with our children when it comes to social media. You don't know what they've been exposed and challenged to do. They might be hiding some things. And so the root of it is truly conversation and open to listening. And then once that, you know, I have a kid, like will act out certain ways, hold everything in, you know, might have some issues at school, being bullied and said to, but then saves it for us. But we don't know because it wasn't shared over time. And so then when something happens, it's like, well, I'm just doing this. And then first period, this happened. And it's like, okay, I'm sorry that that happened to you. And that's real. However, this behavior can't manifest itself like this so that you're doing this behavior at home, you know? And so just acknowledging that.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in too with the littles. Sometimes we think they can't understand like these types of conversations, but they can. I think we, like kids are born and they're naturally loving. You might not think it, you know, with however your little kid was, but they do love each other. they want people to be kind. Yeah. They want to get along. Yes. Like they have these, but they have to be taught empathy and compassion. And they can be taught that really, really young. They can. So if it's, hey, you swung at your brother and you smacked him in the face. And so, and then I grab, like, we're going to not smack our brother. But then I go, look at him. What's he doing? Like, oh, he's crying. He's so sad. It's like, do you like it when you feel sad? No. It's like, so after you sit and separate yourself, because we can't interact in society for a minute, what should you do? What should you do?
Yeah. You're pointing their attention.
Yes.
You're saying, look at this. Notice this. You're not noticing this. And I want you to notice this. And that's a different way to think about a consequence.
Mm-hmm. And it's not.
And a question like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cree is like, how do you want to make it right? What do you think you want to, what do you want to do? You know, I love that you're asking, you're like eliciting, oh, he's crying. Oh, I want to say sorry. You know,
that wasn't very nice. And I think with those kids that just like stare and quote unquote, don't take a punishment or don't take a consequence. Think about what you want them to learn. How did doing this affect you? How did it affect our home? How did it affect your sibling or your friend? And then maybe that's better than having them sit and sob for 5 minutes in time out. Maybe it's better to go, oh, when I knocked my milk over because I was angry, now mom has to help me clean up the milk. Now sister is crying. Now I don't get any more milk. And I didn't like any of those things. And I think if if they're younger and you start to help, they can't reason in the moment. Their reasoning skills don't develop until they're like 25. Mine just barely got here. But they can't reason in the moment. But they can reason afterwards and you can keep reinforcing like, here's what it is, the punishment, the consequence, and they can learn. And so I think sometimes we don't think our kids are ready, but they are. They're ready to know and ready to learn. And then maybe, this is my hope, talk to me in 6 years when my daughter's 16, when I return back to it and I say, hey, this behavior of you staying out super late and not calling me or getting hold of me, can you think about how that affects me? Maybe they've had the practice.
Yeah, and but you're not going out anymore.
Yeah, and we're going to take a break, unless it's harder on me. But I think that's really important. As we're thinking about consequences, what do we want them to learn? What's going on? And how do we help them reason themselves through those lessons so they can be independent adults later on?
That's and so here's good. The thing, too, because I don't know what's happening within the scenario of this parent that asked the question. But then also, too, I'm a huge proponent. If there's another child involved, I will talk to that other parent.
Yes.
I've had many situations on high scales of naughtiness to low scales of like this too shall pass. And there's been instances where I've listened to the parent and they're like, well, I just don't know. So-and-so went over this person's house and, you know, they had alcohol at their house and it was provided by the parent, but my daughter doesn't want, you know, anything to happen to that parent. And I'm like, no, we're going over.
Oh, they don't want that to happen. The child doesn't want that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Natural consequences, I'm crazy. Yeah. And so, no. And so depending on the level of what is happening with the consequence, that's an extreme level, but it's a real level that our kids and teenagers are facing where they have these families and the mom is, she's not a regular mom, she's a cool mom. And so I'm the crazy mom, so I'm going to approach said cool mom. And so my kids need to know that if there's another child involved, I will be addressing it to that parent. It might not end beautifully. It might hurt the relationship, but if there's something where my child is getting into and mixed up into situations and there's another child involved, I am going to involve that parent. And maybe they don't care and they're fine with it, but at least I did my due diligence for the safety of my child.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up.
Then your kid knows, and they might not like it in the moment, but the message is my mom has always got my back, even when, because of course they know that's a risky situation and the parent was irresponsible. So, I mean, there's that too, that these boundaries that we provide for our kids and consequences, it's a kid's job, especially teenager's job to push back against those boundaries that we provide. And so, But they do keep them safe, and they do. Kids rely on those, even though they couldn't say that,
or cognitively
maybe even think it. Yeah. The benefits that we provide with these boundaries, and so that's kind of what I would say to this mom who's feeling like, "What else do I do with this kid?" The benefits are happening, whether or not you can see them in this moment. You're showing up consistently, even though it's hard. There is power in that. It makes a difference.
You have to trust and pray and, however your higher power beliefs are. And I remember in my mind, I said at one point, I'm just going to have to be the bad guy. I'm going to have to take that story. I'm the villain in this story. And I pray that in a few years, my child sees that I had their best interest, that it'll come back around. And I watched my parents parent in hard situations, and they had to be the bad guy. And they had to be the bad parent, quote unquote, but they weren't. They were just bad because the kid didn't want it. My brother didn't want it. And so I watched the hard of that. But then at the end, me as the child watching it, I was like, oh, okay, my parents don't play. And they will definitely.
Duly noted.
Yeah. Okay, again, this is how I turned out perfect, because they messed up twice. So I take no. And I think as a parent, that's where we can fumble and kind of put ourselves at a disadvantage, because we don't want to be the bad guy. We don't want to be the mean one. And it doesn't have to look like how our parents just used to have to take us out back.
It doesn't. And we can respond to negative behavior in these different ways. And this has been a really great discussion with new ideas. Like, it's really good. It's really got me thinking about different ways to do it. I'd like to go and have a do-over, but...
No, it's fine. Just put them in counseling.
I know. Well, I pay for as much therapy as they want.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's a new tagline. The Council of Moms, where we pay for as much therapy as our kids want.
The Council of Moms, where I tell my kids, just tell your therapist that I tried real, real hard. Real, real hard. I just want that disclaimer at the front, and then you can say whatever you want.
Go for it.
Thank you guys so much. This is, I mean, we clearly, and with every Council of Moms, I feel this of like, we just scratched the surface, but it's nice to start the conversation and I think continue it in your own Council of Moms with your trusted friends who come from different backgrounds or different ages, have different kids than you, to really be able to feel not alone and feel encouraged in being able to do what you really want to do, which is be the best kind of mom that you can for your own kids. So thank you so much for listening to the Council of Moms. It's a production of BYU Radio. Please send this episode to a mom in your council. Help us spread the love, because no one has it, you know, easy, and no one should have to do this alone. And if you are thinking and listening to this going, oh, no, I have a great idea, or wait a second, you missed a big thing. Like, we want to hear it. So we read all the comments. You can leave a comment in social media or right here on YouTube where we are. Your questions help us to keep it real. So we will see you next time on the Council of Moms.